Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Retirement Life. Today, we're going to talk about what makes someone irresistible at any age. And as we get into this, I also thought with the timing of Valentine's Day, we could do a little bit of a flashback on a couple of the interesting traditions that I discovered and things that I never knew, I think could be also interesting to our viewers. So welcome, Muge. Great to see you as always.
Great to see you. I am always excited to be with you, Christine. But today's topic is yet another great one and great with the times, a time of love, kindness, affection, and attention. So looking forward to it.
All right. So, I was thinking you get a little sentimental sometimes about Valentine's Day. Maybe you hearken back to the times when you were in grade school and you made your Valentines, you gave your Valentines and you received Valentines. And it got me thinking, well, where did the first Valentine letter come from? And as I did some research, it actually started in 1415, was the first recorded Valentine. And it was from Charles, Duke of Orleans. Now, his story is kind of interesting. It wasn't just kind of a regular, courtship, but he was actually a French nobleman who was captured as a POW in the Agincourt War between England and France. And, this poor guy, he didn't do anything necessarily wrong. He was just wealthy. He was identified as a target for high ransom. And they took him, put him in the Tower of London. He was already married at the time. And he just continued to write letters and poetry, not on cards, but on parchment paper. And talking to his wife that, hey, I still choose you even from here. And like years and years go by. I mean, he was in prison for 25 years and still stayed, committed to his wife. And I was hoping there was going to be this great reunification story. But as I learned about what happened to his wife, she actually died 15 years into his prison sentence. So she never remarried. He wasn't even able to pay her respects at her funeral, but yet his poetry still lives on hundreds and hundreds of years later. So that is the first Valentine's Day letter.
That is very strong start, Christine. that is certainly not a hallmark moment in the way that they are designed these days. And I think that's a beautiful story. It's the tragic story at the same time. And I think several of the passionate love stories can have that tragic element to it. But that is beautiful. And I think you also mentioned, what did he say on the parchment that was very powerful? Says, yes. I still choose you even from here. I mean, that is just incredible.
Yeah. It's nice, but I mean, did he really have any choices?
Come on now, you're ruining a romantic moment.
Yeah. But it is sweet. It is sweet. And those words are very touching, and it's sad. He did finally leave prison. He did get remarried. But the history books say, he was changed forever because of that experience, a different person, certainly a lot more perspective, a lot more depth, and likely, I mean, it wasn't said, but a lot of bitterness, right? For just losing so much of his life behind bars in the Tower of London, by the way, which isn't a really glamorous place to stay, I understand.
No, and I don't think once you go there, you come out necessarily. You may not come out, according to all the stories of Henry VIII era that I specialize in, based on my romance fiction novels. Yeah, once you go there, it's not good. Having said that, they do have a beautiful jewelry exhibit there to soften the environment.
Nice. Well, we've got a couple other sort of rituals. Do you want to take symbols of romance and talk a little bit about that?
Let's talk about symbols of romance. I think when we see red roses and hearts today, which typically are everywhere leading up to Valentine's, and then they disappear all of a sudden, but they remind us of romance. But when you look at the origins of that, going back to ancient Rome, it's also about risk and bravery. And the red roses are sacred to Venus, which is known as goddess of love, but she's also associated with passion and courage. And then we look at the expressions. This is very interesting, I think, where things come from, like wearing your heart on your sleeve. Where does it come from? So in ancient times, when the knights are going for war, they would display the heart on their armor, symbolizing the woman that they have affection for. And that would mean, I fight for you. I risk my life for you. So it's a very public display of not only love and commitment, but also risk, courage, and bravery. When you lose, then you lose, like very publicly. So they are really putting it all out there, which I think in a sense is beautiful, where they are saying, I stand for her, I fight for her. So I think that's what we need. Everybody put a heart on the armor. And the interesting is, how does it come to modern times, and how does it manifest itself? So the heart still persists. And I think the question is, you posed a good one here, Christine, is in modern times, how do people show their love for one another? Anything special you want to call out for you and Paul that you think is special? Maybe not heart on the armor, but another version.
Yeah. I was kind of laughing when I was thinking about, like, what is an example that Paul has done for me? And about, I guess it was a year and a half ago, we took salsa lessons, and it was in a legit dance studio with, you know, the mirrors and lots of witnesses, right? So we were doing this, and it was right after the Barbie movie had come out, and our instructor was a man who was very energetic teacher, and he had a warm-up routine to that song, Just Ken. Do you remember that from the Barbie? I'm just Ken.
Yes. Wow. I wouldn't have thought of that to go into the salsa lesson, but sure. Fusions are good.
So that's the visual I have of Paul kind of wearing his heart on his sleeve, like doing this really for me, not doing it for anyone else. And he, after he got done, like with that warm-up routine to that song, he was like, if any of my friends saw this, oh my God. Oh my God.
That means you were doing something right. If it is a scene that you don't want to be shared on Instagram, way to go.
Exactly. But I think it took, you know, guts and courage, and just, you know, also just staying with the moment, not quitting when things were uncomfortable. But it was super fun. Like, we had lots of laughs. That was the first thing that came to mind. When you think of Brad, was there anything that would pop into your head in terms of acts of love or?
Yeah, I think there are definitely special occasion type of stuff. But and I asked this question to Brad actually before the podcast. I'm like, I have a question. Like, we need to answer this. What do you think? and he said just thoughtful texting in modern day to stay connected. So he shares with me a lot of articles and ideas on travel. Mm-hmm. Because we love to travel, love to explore new places. So he's always on the hunt for what the next great experience can be. And he shares them with me, and it just brightens my day. We may or may not go to these places, but it's nice to think through that. I know texting and phones, they are not the best, but I think when you use it for a good purpose like this, I'm all for it. You know, send me beautiful images of places and luxury resorts and beaches. I'm like, yeah, that's good. Keep those coming.
That's your love language.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I'm surprised Brad didn't just say, you know, baby, every day is Valentine's Day, isn't it?
Well, he can't say that, but he can't get away from the orchestrating the special occasion of Valentine's Day. You can't just say every day is Valentine's Day. You still have to, you know, do the orchestration on the day off. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, before we get into the five traits of what makes someone irresistible at any age, I thought it would also be interesting to go into the science behind long-term attraction. And there's a psychologist, John Gottman, and he did a significant piece of research for 40 years. He studied over 3,000 couples, and this became known as the Love Lab. And he didn't just, you know, interview them, but he watched how they interacted, how they argued, how they repaired the, you know, situation after an argument, and followed these couples for years. And the remarkable thing about his study is that he could predict with a 90% accuracy which couples would remain together and which would divorce. And what he found out was, you know, there is a method and certain elements that maintain that long-lasting attraction. And there's four simple behaviors that he noted. The first is probably not a surprise, but it's kindness. It's, you know, not the big overwhelming gestures of you know, lots of roses, et cetera, but it's just daily respect. It's how people show up with care, you know, to your point earlier of, you know, Brad helping and sharing some thoughts. I know Brad also gets you coffee most mornings. Like, those little things are acts of kindness. The second is emotional repair. So the ability to say, I'm sorry, that came out wrong, kind of like own it in the moment and try and open up that conversation. Third is fondness and admiration. So couples who regularly notice what they appreciate about that person stay emotionally bonded. And I guess maybe couples who put aside some of the things that aggravate them probably also stay emotionally bonded.
Dr. Avni Jain, MD, or Dr. Avni Jain.
So, and then the last one is turning towards bids for attention and interaction. And that is, you know, pulling someone in to experience something with you. Things like, hey, did you hear that? Like, look at this, come see this. Or can I tell you something? Like, having that kind of ongoing touch to just connect is also something that was found to really build lasting attraction.
Well, I mean, that's all very nice, but I thought it was about looks and money, so I guess it's not. So we have to be kind. I think, you know, joking aside, it makes a lot of sense because we talk about emotional bank, the deposits and the withdrawals we make in relationships. And I think the daily engagement with curiosity and kindness all feed into that. The good news is it is simple in a sense, difficult to do, but it doesn't require money, wealth, looks. So I think it's beautiful, but it's also something that I think requires a lot of intention every day to deposit into the relationship.
Yes, yes. And at the same time, he also identified what he calls the four horsemen. And these are things that predict relationships breaking down. So the first is criticism, and really, you know, attacking the individual person instead of looking at the full situation of what might have happened. If you hear words like, or sentences like, you always do this, or you never help me do that, you know, those are kind of trigger words or you know, essentially signs of criticism. And criticism can be constructive too, right? Like it's thinking about the whole situation and also being a little empathetic, understanding their perspective. And a lot of times it's just miscommunication in those situations. Another sort of the four horsemen is contempt. So, and I have seen couples like this, you know, where maybe one of the individuals is talking, the other person's just rolling their eyes like, oh God, here he goes again. Or, you know, those very visible cues of disrespect. And, you know, you can see a sign of disrespect and you can see a sign of like playfulness. There's a difference.
Right.
Right. And I'm sure you've been in those situations before. The third is defensiveness, saying, hey, you know, it's not my fault. You know, here's why I'm right. You know, you might see couples kind of fight tooth and nail about bragging rights over who was right, who was wrong. And those are just no win situations. And then the last one is stonewalling. And this is just, hey, there's an argument. I'm just not talking to him. I'm not talking to him tonight. I'm not talking to him tomorrow. I know a few people who have gone like a week without talking to their spouse because of something. And that's also, you know, a pattern that is not healthy.
Right. You know, all of these are great, I think, summaries and observations and how it may cause people to drift apart. It's probably not overnight, but the cumulative effect of that could potentially be really damaging. So I think the notion of turning toward one another, and it's not, like you said, Christine, I don't think it's criticism necessarily, but how it is delivered and where it's coming from, the intent, you know, it is delivered with kindness, with eye towards making the relationship better, or is it like a pure criticism on the person? Yeah. So I think all of these is how they show up. It's pretty critical probably to the health of the relationship. And I think we are talking here more partners, couples, etc. But when we think about it, I think it probably extends to all kinds of relationships with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers. And the implications may not be as deep because your partner has an outsized importance in your life. But I think something to think about just in the relationship context in general.
Yeah, for sure. They're good reminders. And a pretty amazing longitudinal study of 3,000 couples. There's a lot to unpack there, I think. All right. So now we get to the meat of the session. We're going to talk about what are the traits of irresistibility. And I'm sure, Muge, you have all of these traits.
I am expecting 10 out of 10 on all of these things. But I love the title of this because I think, as you called out, Christine, it's the irresistibility at any age. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't want that? Yeah, let's get to it. If these are achievable, I will love it.
good. Let's do it. All right. So there are five of them. And for our listeners, if you're kind of cued in at home, it would be interesting, I think, to rate yourself on each one of these right now on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, are you always doing this? That would be a full 10. And are you never doing this? This would be a 1. So the first one is presence, the gift of full attention. And this gets harder and harder as we have lots of distractions in our lives today, more so than ever. But, you know, presence means when you're with someone, you're actually with them. You're not thinking about your grocery list, the things you have to do. You're not half checking your phone. You're really there. You're listening. And I would also say you're not thinking about what you're going to say next, right? You're just taking in what they're saying. Hopefully you have some good eye contact and you're really like there with them. And that, I think, it takes practice. It really takes practice to do that well.
It does take practice. And I was thinking through this, Christine, as you're describing, is reaching for your phone a symptom? Rather the phone pulling you in because it is so interesting. Because when you reach for the phone, maybe that's not a situation you want to be in. You are bored, you are deflecting, whatever the case is. When you are really want to be in a situation, you're excited about it, it brings joy to you, then when you're in the flow of that, probably you don't reach for the phone as much. So I mean, it's interesting. The other piece is, unfortunately, these devices still have a lot of pull on us because there's so much in it included to help manage our lives. And one thing I find helpful is go for a walk with your partner. Leave the phones behind, just go for a walk, and have a conversation or enjoy the nature. And it really, I find it helpful. So you use that moment for connection, conversation, and reflection. Because with these phones, I mean, they can be really detrimental, just in general, spending too much time on them.
Definitely, definitely. We just had an episode recently, and our guest was sharing that she puts her phone away at 5 p.m. every single night. And she's done it for years, and it's a wonderful thing. People know she's not available after five. And really, I mean, there's nothing that's like so earth shattering that you need to.
No.
Very few things, let's say. Like,
yeah, very few.
Very
things.
Few. Yes. Very few things. And since that, I've started to do that. I basically do it at six. Six seems to be my time. I've been reading more. I think just a bit more relaxed, less anxious. And it's something that I'm going to continue to do. It's really been helping me personally.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I developed this habit during the pandemic to listen to audiobook sleep stories on my phone, which sounds like a good thing to help you kind of drift off to sleep and listen to something at the same time. But then it brings the phone with you. So I feel like I need to decouple myself from that habit, because one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, you have the light, you have the phone. I think what you're saying sounds really good.
Yeah, try it. See, maybe even just put the phone in another room and put a timer on it. Like, start your audiobook, but it's like too far away for me to like be tempted to grab it.
Right. That's right. That will do it.
Yeah. All right. So we get to the second one. And the second one is quiet confidence. And this essentially means like you are comfortable in your own skin. You don't have to come in, win every room, dominate every conversation. And the people who are sort of have this trait rarely announce it. Like, they're really, you know, grounded, they're comfortable. And it's just a quiet confidence. And I think that that's certainly, when you're around someone like that, first they make you feel at ease, because it's just, I guess that, like, if I think about a couple people in my life who are like this, it's just like, you can just sit and talk and the pace is just different. Right. Mm-hmm. Because they're centered, and because they're centered, they have a way of centering and calming down the room.
Yeah, I think the whole quality of the engagement and the conversation, because I think I would also venture to say, probably when you interact with an individual like that, they probably have better listening skills. They are showing interest in what you have to say, because once you get the phase of sort of showing off, you know, a hint of arrogance, almost bragging, trying to assert yourself as the person in the room who is doing ABC better than everyone else. I mean, it kind of shuts down the engagement in a way. So I can totally see that. And especially when the quiet confidence is tied to competence. Is you are confident because of your competence in a particular area, that certainly is attractive at any age.
Yes, definitely, definitely. The next one, so and like again, rate yourself on these. So far we've had presence, quiet confidence, and the third one is curiosity and play, which is probably my favorite one on the list. I think this is introducing novelty, learning new things, being always curious. You know, these are people who laugh easily, and not because life is perfect, but because they're engaged with it. You know, being and doing things in a beginner's mindset is great for our brains, great for our bodies, great for our souls, and always pretty great for social connections too, because you're doing new things. So curiosity and play is another of the traits that make people irresistible. Yeah.
I love this notion of trying new rituals together, because mm-hmm. I think it opens it up also about learning about the other person and creating a bond through experiences, because you normally don't say, oh, let's bond together and look at each other. So, you know, you got to do something together. And I think it is a renewing experience, mentally, physically, and it shows a level of curiosity. So I love this. My version of this, Christine, you know this very well. Traveling to new places. I find that to be very engaging in all senses, and come back with a different perspective, whether you go to a place with snow or beach or a different culture, a rainy place, sunny place. It's just, I think it brings that element of renewal.
Yeah, renewal. And it's also, they're also almost like mile markers in your life too. You know, as the days, some days go by and you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe it's like 3 months, 3 months have gone by. But when you have those experiences, they mark time, and it's just a way of really building a great life together.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. Number four is purpose. And, you know, we've talked a lot about purpose, having purpose, finding your purpose in some of our past sessions. And this is, I think, important to mention that purpose doesn't have to be like your ultimate save the world purpose, capital P, right? You can have a little purpose every day, you know, try and do something nice for someone, try and let someone know you're thinking about them, volunteer, even if it's 30 minutes or an hour, you know, sometime over the week. So these are people with purpose. You know, they're not waiting for life to happen. They're definitely participating with it. They are usually bringing others with them to, you know, obviously like just make the world a better place, make their communities a better place. And that is certainly something that can be irresistible and contagious.
Yep, very true. I think when you see people like this, you are drawn to them, even if you are not interested in the purpose that they are connected with, just to understand and see the passion, commitment, and engagement they bring in. And that's inspiring. And that can bring the question, okay, what can I do? What is interesting to me that makes a difference in my life and in the lives of others? I think it brings meaning to every day. And I appreciate your comment about this is not just solving world's problems, even though if you have an idea to do that, that's good. But it could be the daily engagement of kindness. Thanking somebody, letting someone go in front of you, chatting with a stranger in the market, like that overall engagement with kindness, I think makes it richer. But you have a higher purpose, deeper purpose, even better.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just actually led us to the last one, which is kindness. So nice job.
Oh, I did that. I did that without even noticing. That is, that's amazing.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, it's, you know, it's not just about being nice, but creating emotional safety. And this could be, as we talked about in the couples research, it could be repairing a conflict. It could be doing something nice for your neighbor. It could be letting someone go ahead of you. It could be just being the first one to help when someone falls down, right? That's all great examples of kindness. So those are the five. How do you think you did?
I think I did okay. But, you know, I think what this shows me, though, is even when we think we have all of this, the question is just even more intention. How can you how can you show up better for your spouse, for yourself, for your community? And one thing that also brought up for me, Christine, is it's not called out explicitly here, but I find a positive benefit, maybe it's embedded, is optimism and positive energy that we bring that I think can be a good galvanizing vibe to bring out the best in others. So I recently read an article that says the glass is always half full. And how you look at that, it can make all the difference. So in engagement with others, the optimism, not the fake optimism, but the genuine optimism, I think can also be quite attractive.
Definitely, definitely. So To wrap up, I'm a big fan of like micro moments, micro changes, and introducing little things that might make a difference. So there's a couple suggestions that align to these five traits. If there's any one of these that you think, well, I'd like to do more of X, because when I thought about some of this conversation, you know, maybe I don't show up as consistently as I like in that area. The first one was presence, and find a way to get that phone free, you know, what do you say, like phone free connection, like get away from the devices. It could be even, you know, some people might just start with 30 minutes. Like there's a lot of people who are really addicted to their phones right now. But whatever it is, like find a way to distance yourself. I think your suggestion, Muge, of just like putting it aside and getting out in nature, so big, even if it's a 20-minute, 30-minute walk in your neighborhood. So that would be presence. Confidence, if you wanted to work on quiet confidence, and this could be just listening more and pausing and trying to show up really authentically and not have to offer everything into the conversation, right? So that would be confidence. Curiosity, I think this one's probably the easiest to act on, and that's introducing one new shared activity in a month's time. Like find something that you're interested in. That could be going to an art talk. That could be playing ping pong at the community center. It could be going to a book signing. Like get out and experience, you know, little events that could add new dimensions to your day. Purpose, and this is maybe like thinking about where would you want to spend time, and where, you know, if there's one thing you're passionate about that you haven't volunteered on, just doing the research of like what's available is a good first start before you actually show up. And then the last one was kindness, and I think what Brad does for you in terms of giving you travel tips is an easy thing. Like send someone a text on, hey, I was just thinking about you and thought you might like this information, or let's grab coffee, and, you know, just let people know that you're thinking about them. That's a nice way to show kindness.
Absolutely. I think the overall theme of this is really engaging in life. With yourself, with one another. And I love these suggestions because I think they are practical, they are feasible, they don't necessarily cost money. Yes, a little bit of time and intention, but the micro steps, I think, are huge in changing the way for the better that we show up. So I love these.
Yep, I guess in summary, like the most attractive, irresistible people, they aren't perfect. They're awake to themselves, they're awake to others, and as you mentioned, they're engaged in life. So hopefully this gives folks things to think about today. And I think that's all we have. Nothing, no heavy lifting, just little things that can make a difference.
Absolutely. Enjoy yourselves, do something new, and share it with the ones you love. That is likely to open new doors and create a cascade of other good things. Because I think when you open up, invite others to share something, then most likely they will reciprocate at some level. So you don't even have to do all the work all the time. So it can happen naturally and organically, and that's the good thing. Having said all of that, I love roses, chocolates, and hearts on the very day of Valentine's. That has to happen too.
Yeah, it's nice to receive. It's nice to give too, right? You know, before the podcast started, you mentioned that you did a Galentine's Day tea, and I think that's super fun to celebrate holidays in a different way and show appreciation for your friends.
Yes, absolutely. That was my first Galentine's tea hosting. I was a little nervous because I wanted to make it very special for my friends. So it included a lot of heart-shaped things and Turkish tea, coffee, fortune telling, and Brad volunteered to serve us endless rounds of tea, which was act of love and kindness, another example. So it was really special. I think I may turn it into a bit of a ritual and tradition. I feel more confident now about my ability to host this. It was a good time.
I love it. Awesome. All right. So I think with that, we'll sign off. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.